On this episode of the show, it's our first mock draft with Yahoo. Yes, Hayden and I draft 7th and 8th on the board, but boy, do our strategies differ. One goes heavy running back, one goes heavy wide receivers, and it's with 9 of you. Yes, 9 of our listeners we get to draft with. Some really amazing picks, mini snipes, plus Eric Froton delivers his preview of CFF at the end. So stay tuned. Oh, yes, it is mock draft day. Not just me, not just Hayden, and not just producer Weaves, but 9 of you. Yes, I sent out a feeler. I sent out a tweet, and 9 lovely people from this community, from our viewership, joined in on this mock draft. It is full point PPR. You've been asking for that. 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, and 2 flex with no kickers and defense. Hayden, how you feeling?
Feeling good. I see that we have Beef Candy has joined the mock draft with us. Happy to have Beef Candy here. Full PPR. And then Josh, I was looking around the draft board here. And then in the drop downs, I see that you could have our rankings individually right there on the site. So you guys can choose if you want Josh's rankings, my rankings, the consensus around Yahoo's rankings, or just, you know, the default rankings.
Yeah, this is why you need Yahoo Plus, because you get to decide if you want to pick from Hayden's brain or my brain. And we get a notification every single time who picks who. So I better be in the lead of that one. Or, you know, you can pick from Harmon or Pianowski or Justin Hood or Joel Smith at the same time. You know, that might be smart as well to get a different opinion than what we have. Yeah, I'm going to be zooming in and figuring out the draft board and everything else as we go along. We're about to kick off here. Some amazing names in this group. Stun a Goat, Fins Up the Villa, Why Banana Elway? Again, 9 of you. And if you auto draft, you're banished the shadow realm for eternity. So that better not happen to those people. But yeah, I can't wait to do this. It's really our first draft, I think, together since maybe June. So we'll see. I mean, we're going to talk through even more training camp updates that have happened since the last 24 hours that we have, gone through an entire show. So this is going to be a good one to figure out for sure. Since the vast majority of our conversations about half PPR, how much does it change your strategy from the 8th spot in full PPR?
I think it's kind of twofold. It's also how many wide receiver / flex spots you have. If you're only starting 2 wide receivers, which is the Yahoo default, then that's makes those wide receivers less valuable. If there's now in our league, we have 4, up to 4 wide receivers, up to 4 running backs, it kind of evens out. But yeah, half PPR makes the quarterbacks devalued. And then in the first round or so, you can kind of break ties like an Amon-Ra versus a Jonathan Taylor, like those type of things, by all means. But still, there's some level of scarcity with the running back points in the first couple of rounds.
I mean, I think the 7 spot might be the most difficult for me if I want to get one of those wide receivers that falls. But then the tier break typically for me is it happens with the running backs on the board. Mm-hmm. So I would love for Amon-Ra St. Brown to fall to the next spot. But if not, then I get one of the 2 sweet running backs. I guess, though, from our conversation of like how we would view the top 15, then after this CMC Jonathan Taylor tier, but I guess maybe full PPR, you might put Justin Jefferson in that top spot too.
Yeah, I think I'm moving Justin Jefferson down a little bit just because like there's at least some risk that Kyler's not going to be out there the whole season, just because the training camp seems like to be a little bit more even than I was expecting. I still think it's going to be largely Kyler Murray. So I just really warmed up to like the Kenneth Walker types out there. So to me, these are the first 6 picks, I think. And then I would have Christian McCaffrey as the clear 7th best option. Yeah. in full PPR. And then once you get after that, I'm still probably going to be looking at Jonathan Taylor 8th overall, even though he's not like a full PPR type. He still is really awesome in the format if the Colts can keep moving.
Yeah, I just took CMC. The first 6, as Hayden referred to, Jahmyr Gibbs, Ja'Marr Chase, Bijan, Puka, JSN, and Amon-Ra St. Brown. But we just talked about the 49ers. I mean, if more and more of them are already getting banged up, then that's just more and more of the stuff that continues to be funneled in CMC's direction, just like last year.
Yeah, so it's the same type of thing. We got Stripling. He's apparently back at practice. That's a win. George Kittle is ramping up a little bit. Mike Evans still day to day. And then obviously Debo Samuel looks, I think, all things considered, pretty good. So still a long ways away till week 1. So don't want to like completely ignore training camp injuries, but also, you know, you don't get fantasy points on August 6th.
As much as we would like to, we do not get fantasy points on August 6th. Okay, I guess I can ask that same strategy question from round 1 to round 2 as we're about to get into round 2. By the way, producer Weaves is in the 11th spot here if you want to pay attention to the picks that he makes. So often, we love the running back starts. Does your mindset change here when we get a full point per reception?
A little bit, but nothing too much. Like if you're at the back half of round one, early round two, it's pretty much all wide receivers. I think Brock Bowers becomes interesting. When we have two flexes like this, you can start up to four running backs. Like, by all means, if you can start four running backs, I still like that strategy as well. So I think that's just, it's not, I'd say it's equally as important how many positions are starting as if it's half PPR versus full.
Okay, as we go along here, it's not necessarily going to be exactly a pick-by-pick conversation. I do want to update some things that have happened over the last few days. And Hayden, I think number one is a player that we've talked about so often this summer that we are well above ADP on, and that is Jaylen Waddle. We got a practice video from the sidelines of him limping. Now, since then, Sean Payton has come out and said it's just a strain and he should be back in practice in 4 or 5 days. But do you think that's an optimistic lens that Coach Payton is putting things through?
I mean, if he's returning in 4 or 5 days while he's limping, I would just say, what's the point of returning that quickly? This seems like maybe it could be a multi-week thing, but once again, it's still only August 6th. Don't want to move him down too much. But these are the type of things, as we get closer, that I do want to start reacting to. Like when somebody has a legitimate injury right before the season, and I'm not concerned about Jaylen Waddle learning the playbook. He's a veteran. He's had all offseason to kind of figure that out, the timing and stuff. They'll get that all sorted out. But as we get closer, I just remember like the Darnell Mooney injury and stuff. Like some of these injuries.
Well, missing training camp is a big deal. We have learned that over the last few seasons.
Huge deal. So like I think like you missing 1 or 2 weeks, I don't think that's as big of a deal. But if we're talking about like Kenyon Sadiq, for example, who's going to miss almost all of it up to week one and stuff, and that's a setback to an injury he's already been dealing with. I don't like these setbacks and missing time. Mekhi Lemon's kind of in that area too. So I think those are the bigger ones. The Jaylen Waddle one's just such a big deal because like I've been drafting him so much.
Yeah, and specifically on Waddle, he has kind of been one of these players so far that even if he doesn't miss games, he does get banged up a lot, like leaves halfway through contests, that he's one of these that you think if he could just stay healthy, he'd be so good. And then this happening right now, and we have 4 weeks until the season starts, right? Mm-hmm. So there is some time, but we definitely just want him to be healthy as we go through. Okay. You did take Brock Bowers just before me. Why?
I think in full PPR is the best time to be drafting Brock Bowers, and especially in redraft, just because it can be so maddening trying to playing the touchdown or bust game every single week. And I think that there's a pretty clear drop off after the top 8 tight ends in fantasy this year. Then you get into your like aging veterans or players coming off of injuries, or sometimes both there. And I feel good about the top 8, but. I do think that Brock Bowers has like just as good of odds as like the Nico Collins, George Pickens, AJ Brown types of having well over 1,000 yards, 100 catches. And I think that the drop off at tight end is pretty significant versus the wide receivers that you'd be getting in like rounds 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
I'm in a big dilemma with 10 seconds left. Amarin Hampton or Drake London? I'm going to go Drake London. Like, I love the running back starts. I think I'm more optimistic than most people on Amarian Hampton. Like, I understand the flaws in his game, but just the system that he's in with Mike McDaniel. But at the same time, even if the Falcons are projected for low points, even if it is Tua Tagovailoa, I do trust them enough to funnel so much in the direction of Drake London as an outside to inside player. Yep. That if it was half PPR, I would have taken Amarin Hampton. Since it's full, I am taking Drake London.
Well, also, we have Falcons defensive injuries where one of their first round picks might not be able to play because he's probably going to prison eventually. And then their other one, Jaylen Walker, just tore his ACL. I'm very nervous about the Falcons in general. Like, this team could be picking in the top 5. Their defense could not be nearly as good as it was this previous season. And in that scenario, Drake London's going to catch a million passes.
Okay, just to go through some double ups here to start. At the 12 spot, it's James Cook and Ken Walker. Weaves at the 11 with Saquon Barkley and Devon Achane.
Love it.
Justin Jefferson and Chase Brown. CeeDee Lamb and Ashton Jeanty. Jonathan Taylor, Brock Bowers. Christian McCaffrey, Drake London. Amon Ross St. Brown and Nico. JSN and AJ Brown. So I love that we have some of these starts that are two running backs and then two wide receiver starts. And we'll see how that pans out once we get to like that round 4 or 5 territory, mm-hmm. where you really are, doubling up on the wide receiver or running back conversation and doing some this then that statements for each.
I think the interesting part around the beginning of like of the draft when you're deciding between Bijan versus Puka, for example, a lot of the running backs do kind of dry up at the 2-3 turn. Like in this one, Derrick Henry does fall, which is more likely to happen in full PPR, but in half PPR, he never falls that far. And you are kind of looking at a bunch of wide receivers / Trey McBride at the 2-3 turns. Like, I want to rank Puka like first overall because I think he's going to go absolutely crazy this year. But at the same time, I know I'm going to have a bunch of wide receivers to pick at the 2-3 turn that I do think still taking Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan does make sense.
Malik Nabers just went about 10 spots ahead of ADP at the 301. Smart?
Yeah, definitely smart. I feel more encouraged about this every single day. I was listening to Bobby Skinner and Jordan Ronan, and they like what they see at practice.
It's one of those that even if he doesn't play like a single snap in preseason, that's fine. Like that might limit him from going in the second round, but just staying healthy could place him anywhere from, I think, like the 301 to the 311 where he is right now.
Yeah, just based off of what I've seen in practice, I think that Malik Nabers looks a little bit better than Rashee Rice. And I know that Malik Nabers is infinitely better than Rashee Rice.
One got his rehab work in a training room and the other one got it in a jail cell.
It does matter, I've heard.
Yeah, I mean, again, the round 2-3 wide receivers are some of our favorites, and the round 4-5 wide receivers are some of our favorites as well. So we'll see if I regret not taking a second running back here. But, you know, Drake London, not such a bad consolation prize. I'm wondering, nope, Javonte Williams. See, I think that's somewhat of the pickle that you get into, someone who doesn't, you know, have a whole bunch of pass catching in their repertoire. But you did start off with JSN and AJ Brown out of the five slot here.
Yeah, Javonte's not going to add too many receptions this year. Jaden Blue's coming on. He didn't catch that many passes last year and was like extremely inefficient on them. You're drafting Javonte Williams for all the touchdowns. I think that he's still a good pick. He's typically goes a little bit later than this. I personally would rather have Breece Hall, especially in full PPR, seeing that he's going to be more involved in that area. And like this is where it becomes interesting with the Trey McBride and Josh Allen of it all. I think that Brock Bowers is a tier above those two options. But
yeah,
with Josh Allen, it's the consistency, but the opportunity cost. And then with Trey McBride, it's just, can he survive even more target competition and probably even worse quarterback play this year? But man, he was awesome last year.
Yeah, I mean, he's the falling name right now. He's going around the 212 typically on Yahoo. And Trey McBride is still on the board here if pick 31 overall. And I'm not going to take him. I'm still not taking Trey McBride here. I'm going to force you to make the decision if you want to go Brock Bowers and Trey McBride.
I won't.
I'm going to go with Zay Flowers.
Okay. Like,
it's one of these things that you can talk yourself into, and I already have, of just a reset. And I'm not saying Todd Monken was a bad play caller. He really transformed this offense. But Zay Flowers, with a new contract, with new eyes on everything, and just with the lack of, you know, Isaiah Likely and other tight ends on the roster here, like, all Zay Flowers has to do is score 3 or 4 more red zone touchdowns. And if he gets to like 5 or 6, like just double up the 10 targets he got inside the red zone last year, up to 20 of them this year. And we have like a legit, entirely new fantasy football lens that we've used Zay Flowers from.
Yeah, I totally agree with this one. I feel very good about Zay Flowers. 3-4 turn is really where I rank him. There's so many wide receivers, but with like Jalen Waddle injured, I would never pick Waddle over Zay Flowers at this point. Same thing with like Emeka. Right. He still has to prove it a little bit more than Zay Flowers. So plus signed that huge contract, they got to make it look good. And I think that the difference would just be the touchdowns.
And I'm not saying the touchdowns have to happen for him to have a good season. Like, he just has to return what he did last year to have a good season at his ADP. I'm saying to get him into the top 10 scores at the position, to get to double-digit touchdowns, which he really hasn't come close to in previous years.
The Mark Andrews reports out of training camp have not been good. I didn't think that his tape was very good. I still think Mark Andrews is like a fine enough dart throw if you're really punting it off, just because he can catch 10 touchdowns and not even be good. And that's all you kind of need here. But in terms of like target share and stuff, it's really looking like it's going to be all Zay Flowers in this offense.
So we talk about strategy a lot. We will talk about even more strategy as we go along this summer. When you let the board come to you, and when you have, I think, such a flexible roster construction here with 2 running backs, 2 wide receivers, and 2 flex here, I think I am probably trending, just knowing how boards typically fall, to having like that running back 2 spot kind of be my weakness. And loading up at my wide receiver, wide receiver, number one running back, and then the two flexes probably at wide receiver.
Yeah, there's a million ways to do this. I like these types of leagues where there's a lot of freedom to the construction.
I love more flexes rather than locking you into like three wide receivers or...
It does make it more fun. It does make it more fun. Josh Allen's the one that's falling. His ADP is at 20th overall. This is the type of league when you're in full PPR, adding an extra flex where his value does decrease the most. At some point here, we're going to be looking at players that you just don't feel great about. But I think our mock draft here is pretty sharp that he's the one that's falling right now.
They're all listeners, Hayden. Like we're in a tough spot here where they know all of our opinions. And we talk about it all summer how Trey McBride's ADP should probably be closer to Colson Loveland's than Brock Bowers. And then what happens here? It's a five spot or a four spot gap between Trey McBride and Colson Loveland. Josh Allen just did go off the board here at the 403.
Who took him? Is that Mr. Beef Candy?
Candy. Justin Jefferson, Chase Brown, Chris Olave, and Josh Allen at the
start. I like it. I like it.
Yeah. I like it a lot too. Just to go through some players that are still on the board here with the fourth pick of the fourth round. Kyren Williams, Garrett Wilson, T-Mac, Travis Etienne, Terry McLaurin. We're going off my rankings. No, that's composite rankings that's pulled up. So I have my rankings on a separate tab here.
Yeah, so I'm considering right now it's Kyren, Etienne, and then Cam Scadaboo, or I can go with Garrett Wilson. I don't have a wide receiver. Do I really want to do Breece Hall and Garrett Wilson on the same team? It's starting to make me a little bit nervous right there, thinking out loud. I'm going to go with Kyren Williams. I think this one's really close between all of them. This is it's still a really good group of running backs. Like this is kind of dead zone profiles because that's where typically a lot of the worst running back selections have been kind of in this round. I don't know, man. I still think that the Kyren Williams stuff, even with Corum around, there's still so much upside. Like he doesn't even have to do as well as he did this last season to pay off this ADP.
Yeah, I was probably going to take Kyren there. I can't. So I am going to dip my toe in the Garrett Wilson waters and have him as my first flex spot here. My start, just to go through this, CMC, Drake London, Zay Flowers, Garrett Wilson. And I've been trying to pull up the Ron Stewart tweets because you know that Ron Stewart has some good ones about how this is actually Garrett Wilson's time to shine versus in previous years. But it's mainly about like first read targets that Geno Smith has thrown. And then Garrett Wilson and his first three targets and how successful he's been on those. And so, you know, despite the Adonai Mitchell stuff at X and drafting Omar Cooper in round one and then Kaden Sadiq now missing camp, I really think so much is going to flow through Garrett Wilson here. And it's not just the short to intermediate stuff. He can also win down the field too.
You are certainly winning the target share league, right?
That's actually four picks. One of the categories is... target share leaders per week in extra plus five.
I mean, we are very close for real drafts to be based off of expected fantasy points and target share and like firmly just like spreadsheets fantasy.com. It's probably actually not a bad business idea if any of you guys wanted to build it.
I love that. And talking through yours, you have the exact opposite of me, basically. You are Jonathan Taylor, Brock Bowers, Breece Hall, Kyren Williams. Heading into a PPR draft, Hayden, would you expect to not have a single wide receiver through four rounds?
When the board fall to me, I'm going to take my fantasy points from last year and hopefully that Breece Hall and Brock Bowers can just have better environments around them. But I still think that in full PPR, when you're talking about two flex spots, like gobbling up a bunch of these running backs, it's going to make the rest of the room feel real nervous about who they're starting in their flex. And I think still in full PPR, Kyren Williams is going to outscore a lot of the wide receivers around them. And you can, any of these running backs, Cam Scott, but these guys just project more straight up. So when extra flex spots, I lean towards running backs even more.
Yeah, I'm going to be nervous about who I'm going to start my running back two spot, but maybe I won't. We'll figure that out as we go along. Yeah, I was nervous that you and I are drafting back to back here, but doing two opposite strategies, I think makes it all worth it. All right, since my pick, Tyler Warren, Travis Etienne, Luther Burden, Terry McLaurin, Rome Odunze, and Cam Scadaboo. I would say of that group, if we're just looking at Yahoo ADPs, Rome at the 411, when in half PPR, he's going at the 6.8, Hayden, is the first, and I would say biggest, quote-unquote, reach so far.
Yeah, he might be drafting off the Matt Harmon ranks or my rankings there. I think that this is justifiable, even if it's a little bit earlier. I'm hoping that you guys can draft Rome Odunze later than this, but in full PPR, man, he was wide receiver 18 in targets per game last year. He just got to catch more of them, but that's what we should expect with Caleb and those guys entering second year of the system, young players.
Yeah, I mean, again, I'm just so focused on my team that, like, there's this glut of running backs coming up, Hayden, that's DeAndre Swift, David Montgomery, Quinshon Judkins, Bucky Irving, Bejo Tootin in whatever order. And I'm going through my head of, okay, what's the cutoff that I'm willing to still push running back with a wide receiver on the board? And Christian Watson would have been that. And I think there was a chance that he was still going to make it back to me at the 5-7. But since he just went at the 5-1, I mean, this is a loaded team. Jahmyr Gibbs, Rashi Rice, Malik Nabers, Cam Scattabu, Christian Watson. That's like a mix of our favorites there.
They are. Let's see how many games they play would be the one that's problem fair. With that. That's but we can't predict injuries. And as long as you can keep saying that, that team looks awesome.
Still remaining on the board. DeAndre Swift, Davante Adams, Lamar Jackson, Dave Montgomery, Quinshon Judkins, Mike Evans, DJ Moore, Bashel Tootin. This is when it gets tight, you know? Oh, Drake May just went as quarterback too.
Yeah, we have a stacking. So that's the thing. Do you push Drake May another round? Are you willing to not stack up AJ Brown? Like that to me, those type of decisions, I would push quarterback in a full PPR extra spot. Even I acknowledge stacking is important. I would just see there's a chance Drake May falls to you and you don't have to stack your quarterback every single time.
Well, Frozen Tundra just made the decision for me. It was between Bashel Tootin and one other name because if I'm honest, as much as I love Quinshon Judkins, he's not going to catch a lot of passes. And while I like DeAndre Swift, I'm going to take DJ Moore here.
Wow. I wanted him. I wanted DJ Moore. Why him versus Swift? Because now I'm on the clock. And like, am I really going to fill out my flex spot with a fourth running back here? This is where you're really starting to push it. It's Mike Evans, Davante Adams as my wide receiver one is kind of where it's at. You know what?
The only reason I did it, Hayden, was to put you in this situation. That's why I did it.
You think I care, dude? I'm going DeAndre Swift, man. This is about applying the pressure. I feel really good about my flex spots being Kyren Williams, DeAndre Swift. And this is where I think only having two wide receivers, like a bunch of my next picks are obviously going to be wide receiver here. And then I just got to hit on two sleepers here. I'm really hoping Parker Washington comes back.
he will not. I thought you might have jumped the olds, even if your ranks don't say it. Because sometimes that happens, right? Like sometimes as you're building a team and it doesn't necessarily follow exactly how it does, you don't want to rely on Mike Evans and Davante Adams playing 17 games. And instead, you might have taken like Parker Washington in that spot instead.
Yeah, the one caveat to that is when there's only two wide receiver spots, I'm like almost more willing to take on risk because like
that's fair.
You just need to find one more option there. I think in general, just looking at the ADP landscape, there's so many sleeper wide receiver types like the Josh Downs. I'll throw Matthew Golden in there. Pick a Xavier Worthy if you don't love the profile.
Please exit this draft with Xavier Worthy as your wide receiver too, please.
We will not release those screenshots. Do not release the tapes. This is one of these situations where I need like four or five wide receivers in a row here, and then we're going to hit on two of them. There's luckily you have like Tyson upside swings, and you have Alec Pierce has done it before. I'm not panicking yet.
I'm laughing at myself because this might be the shortest stint ever at Yahoo if we release our first draft at Yahoo and Xavier Worthy is your wide receiver too. And they just fire us. They just let us go.
Honestly, they should.
They should. I do get excited, you know, in the Yahoo lobby when it has, you know, the your turn line. And like there are two names right below that I would really, really love to take. And I'm just hoping that it doesn't get reordered until then. And it just did. It just did with one of the picks that happened. The longer this training camp goes along, Hayden, the more and more and more I'm into Jadarian Price.
Why?
Because when you think about it, we're talking about George Halani in like pure passing situations. And I think that's even a different discussion that we got of the Ken Walker, Zach Charbonnet stuff last year. And for sure, it might be an organizational structural thing where they're like, hey, we need to keep our best runner fresh at the end of the season for their playoff run. But at the same time, I also feel like Jadarian Price versus George Halani is a much bigger gap than how they perceive the backfield of Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet, and especially that Ken Walker would get them to the 15, to the 10-yard line, and in would come Zach Charbonnet. I doubt they put George Halani in those situations, and Jadarian Price would just be able to continue running it in from the 10 versus the 15 that K-9 didn't get last year.
Yeah, to me, it's not about the first couple weeks or months of the season. To me, it's once Zach Charbonnet gets involved, then are we just in a situation where I don't think that price is going to be as good as Ken Walker, and then you're in that kind of same situation where you're splitting carries and goal line stuff. And Charbonnet is way bigger than Price. So Price could just be so good that he's going to run away with the job. And then even when Charbonnet comes back, or it's not going to matter. I think that he is like appropriately priced, but he's not one of these guys that I want to steam up the draft board. Keep in mind, like, you're losing Clint Kubiak. Like, there's a chance that the Seahawks, you know,
totally,
they score six, seven fewer points per game.
Well, that would be a lot. Six or seven fewer points would be.
I think they averaged almost 30 or something, including
they did.
They were rolling.
They did. Yeah, and like if you take an individual standpoint from each of their players, like the offensive line just individually doesn't have rock stars at each spot, but they played like a cohesive unit last year too. It's a fascinating team to watch this year. That's for sure. Okay, you're almost on the clock here. Your thoughts?
I'm looking at the wide receivers. And then I am
just
also...
to talk about the wide receivers that are still available. It's like...
Well, it's now I'm looking at Lamar Jackson versus wide receivers that I usually don't feel very confident about. And you're like, I'm almost willing to push these wide receivers once again. Like, am I really going to draft Carnell Tate over Lamar Jackson? Like, that seems insane to me. And in fact, we're going to take, this is an experimental draft. Let's see if you guys like it. I'm taking Lamar Jackson.
Well, I was going to take him with the next selection because I have Zay Flowers.
Well, you sniped me the round previous. So if you want to trade DJ Moore,
Brock Bowers.
DJ Moore
like
for
we do
Lamar
too many
Jackson.
Shows together. Nope, yeah. Not doing that. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think this is the perfect territory to stop pushing quarterbacks because, again, we're getting into like the Jalen Warren versus an elite quarterback here. Now, I think the big discussion is who is the next quarterback off the board after Drake May and Lamar Jackson? Is it Joe Burrow? Is it Jaden Daniels? Is it Jalen Hurts? Fair conversation.
I have them pretty much all back to back, and I'm just letting who I've drafted before dictate to dictate that to me. And then also if just one of the guys are falling, I think I might like Jaden Daniels the best, but that's really, really close. And with Jaden and then with Jalen Hurts of that mix, you can at least draft, you know, Mekhi Lemon after, Dallas Goedert after, where with Joe Burrow, there's nobody else to stack with. The players are already drafted ahead of you. So like, it's those type of decisions. But to me, this is the line. Like, look at the wide receivers and running backs around. Like, this is where I think quarterback gets interesting.
Totally. I went with Jaden Daniels. I might regret that and want to take Joe Burrow, but I did not have Ja'Marr Chase and I did not have T. Higgins. I did not have Chase Brown.
That's what I would have done too.
I'm going to go with Jaden Daniels and maybe get some Stephon Diggs a bit later on.
I like that a lot.
See, three in a row here. Frozen Tundra just took Joe Burrow on top of that. So yeah, I mean, the one quarterback versus Superflex drafting, I think this year more than any other might have the biggest difference in terms of where quarterbacks are going because there are legit, you know, 24 quarterbacks and at least 12 that are good. And so like in your home leagues, if these quarterbacks go much earlier, we keep talking about it. You can push it to the Kyler Murrays of the world. You can push it to someone in that vicinity unless they get pushed to the sixth round like here. And then the values just don't make sense taking, you know, skill players over that quarterback.
I think it's a good point. These mock drafts, like expert mock drafts, and then obviously all you guys are sharp here. The quarterbacks go much later than typical in like your against your high school buddies. So that those are like the big exceptions of like, you know, when I'm advising punt quarterback in general, that's because all these quarterbacks were gone in the fourth round, which I really like, you know, the players that we just drafted over them. But in a situation like this, this is to me is like the appropriate cost where I think the best picks were the quarterbacks.
Just scanning the draft board, Trevon Henderson went at the 601, Ramondre Stevenson at the 610. We just did one of our, I guess it was, they all run together, the updated rankings episodes. And one of our big conclusions was they should be ranked much, much closer together. And here they are drafted much, much closer together.
Yeah, I'm expecting that to continue. I don't think that anything about the training camp is necessarily going to lean towards Travion. It seems like Ramondre is still catching some passes. He's better in pass protection because he's, you know, there's just a mass thing that's required in pass protection. And then I just don't think that Travion's ever going to be the goal line answer over Ramondre for the same exact reason. So I think they should be pretty close together. I think ultimately, I think the most likely scenario is both of them finish outside the top 15 this year. And then whoever just stays healthier is the better one to pick. But I think their ADPs should be pretty close together.
Yeah, they're two rounds apart in half PPR Yahoo leagues right now. Typically, Trevion's going in the fifth round, Ramondre's going in the seventh round, and here they both go in the sixth round. Makes sense. I was really eyeing Sam Laporta here in the seventh round, but fins up got me. But I think this might be a tight end round for me, Hayden. There's a yep. lot of picks on the board that I really like.
Yeah, this is a great range for the tight ends, and it's kind of, to me, last call. There's only the top eight that I feel good about, and then after that, I'm just going to wait as long as I can. And I typically don't like to do that in redraft leagues, full PPR leagues. Like, to me, this is where, you know, Harold Fannin's never looked better than if he's on the clock right here.
Still rushing to get that running back. Still do not have a starting lineup out there yet, but we'll see. Yeah. A big dilemma for me once I get on the clock for a lot of leagues is going to be Harold Fannin versus Kyle Pitts. One obviously younger than the other. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Stefanski coached one guy and now he gets the other one. I think my rankings have it right now, Fannin over Pitts. I might flip that.
Yeah, I think it depends on the format for me. I think that Fannin is going to catch still a bunch of passes, but that one's really close.
The decision was made for me. Kyle Pitts just went to stiff arm at the 705. Chris Godwin, Hayden, I feel like we've talked about 300 players this summer. We have not said one phrase about Chris Godwin, who just went at the 704. Is there a phrase you would like to say about Chris Godwin?
I didn't think that he looked right last year, and I'm a little bit nervous about that because there's so many injuries, and they're very serious injuries. And then I liked what I saw from Emeka, and he's getting into a better role, a more underneath role. So I think there's a lot of competition. Reports out of Jalen McMillan's camp have been positive. He's missing a little bit of time here, but nothing I'm concerned about. So I've not been drafting a bunch of Chris Godwin. There is also the narrative of just, you know, the slot wide receiver in this offense has been really good. I think that's more of the Emeka Ibuka position, more so than the slot, but I understand it.
You know, when he came back last year, there were just a bunch of passes that fell off his hands on like extended grabs along the sideline, and I thought he was kind of moving okay. Mm-hmm. But then he came back from injury after he rushed it the first time, and he still wasn't productive. So it's a weird one. Like, I can totally envision a bounce back, and then I could also see him like hitting this decline after this injury. And I don't know what outcome it is. And he's one of the hardest and most difficult players for me to rank right now.
Yeah, there's too many young players around him that I would rather take shots on. So I haven't drafted him.
If I really wanted to get a running back, then I would push here for Tony Pollard and Chuba Hubbard. That's not really what I want to go into this doing. So I'm going to take Harold Fannin here as my tight end.
I like that a lot. I'm pretty much forced into a wide receiver here. I don't have one. The rest of my starting lineup is filled out. So I'm debating between Jordan Tyson, Quentin Johnston. Those are the top two guys in my list here. Tough call. I think I'm going to go with Jordan Tyson. I think that he has you know, just like this kind of theoretical upside that I really do need to hit. He's out there in training camp. He was not my favorite prospect, but he's also not being drafted in a spot where he had to be my favorite prospect. I still really like Jordan Tyson's film and stuff. I was kind of boom bust. Look, I need a boom. So he seems like a pretty good guy for me.
Well, I think when in doubt and when trying to win your league, like, go with the rookie in this spot. And I think they're doing a really good job of managing his snaps from what I can tell from Underhill's tweets and stuff. Like, they're not asking him to go full go every day in practice. They're saying, okay, we know you have a history of X, Y, and Z. Yep. And so you're going to take some drills off or some days off here and there, and treat him as like a veteran in some instances, which I think is really smart.
It's smart. Also, one of the benefits of this offense is first and neutral pace. This has been a Kellen Moore staple for a long time. There's a chance Jordan Tyson plays a little bit of slot in this offense as well, and that's been another kind of through line with the Kellen Moore offenses. So lots of good stuff from Nick Underhill about the Saints offense right now.
Yeah, it has sounded like that the Saints defense has dominated the offense in a lot of practices, which may not be totally shocking. Like, he's saying that there's a lot of new pieces. I'm not sure exactly what the new piece is other than Jordan Tyson and Travis Etienne. Like, everyone else has kind of just been there other than the left guard and David Edwards. But as we have seen, it's not always the case that a struggling offense during the preseason, a la Caleb Williams and the Bears last year, then takes that into the regular season.
Yeah, and still, we're barely started.
4 weeks away.
Stuff. Yeah,
yes.
Barely started with it.
4 weeks away. Still on the board right now, Justin Herbert, Chuba Hubbard, Trevor Lawrence, Dak Prescott, QJ, Josh Downs, and we go on from there. You mentioned that this is going to happen at some point this summer. No surprise, it happens with our audience. Jonathan Brooks was just selected over Chuba Hubbard.
Yeah, I think in full PPR, he's going to play more of the pass down work. As long as he stays healthy, it's, I think, a true toss-up here. So not surprising. Their ADP should be pretty close together, though.
Okay, let's go through Producer Weeds' team. He's in the 11th spot, okay? Saquon, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, Colson Loveland, Parker Washington, Quinshon, Justin Herbert, Quentin Johnston. I think I'd rather be in the 11th spot than the 7th spot.
This team looks good. The Herbert to QJ stack right there. Parker Washington, somebody I'm really warming up to after everything I'm reading there. Saw a report out of from Shipley talking about he's not going to come off the field. He's going to be a slot to Z player. And then Travis Hunter's going to play more snaps, but it sounds like that's going to come on the boundary, which to me could mean a little bit of Jacoby Myers, because Parker Washington can kick inside. That could come at the expense of Brian Thomas, but does not sound like it's coming at the expense of Mr. Parker Washington.
I just had a dilemma. Chuba Hubbard versus J.K. Dobbins. I don't know if I loved either pick. I did go with Chuba over J.K. Dobbins. Would you have made that same pick?
That's how I have it in my rankings still. But I do think they're very similar in type in their terms of the profile. They've had nice runs before. Then they kind of get banged up and things don't look the same. Harvey versus Jonathan Taylor or Jonathan Brooks. I think that Brooks is probably a better player. So I do think those two like tandems there should be probably picked pretty close to each other. I think the Panthers went a little bit better because they don't have like an established RB3 where we know that Sean Payton wants to get an RB3.
And Stephon Diggs off the street and into your starting lineup as your wide receiver too.
Yeah, just how you draw it up. Jordan Tyson, Steph Diggs, as your wide receiver 1-2. I was thankful that he was still available. I do think that early in the year, as long as he stays healthy, I do think there's a pathway for him being a top 36 wide receiver. Terry McLaurin's never been like a true volume dependent type of player. We watched Zach Ertz. I mean, you remember the Zach Ertz with Jaden Daniels? How many underneath catches did that guy have? And Steph Diggs was moving way better than the Zach Ertz stuff. So I do think that, like, I'm taking the Steph Diggs stuff seriously on a per route basis. Last year, coming off an ACL tear, he was pretty dang good. So I think he's got plenty of energy coming off that boat. And I think that he's just a nice pick right now.
I think our Yahoo rankings, which, by the way, in the description down below, are getting a big update today. So I can't wait for those because I'm still hoping that there's a certain player here in round 9 at running back that's going to fall to me. Oh, Matthew Golden just went off the board right next to Jordan Addison, which is a very interesting 1-2 combo there. Yeah, I mean, does the scoring matter for Matthew Golden versus half PPR and full PPR? Or is that just reading into it too much?
No, I was listening to Justice Mosqueda and other Packers reporters trying to get to the bottom of it. He's going to be playing the X receiver spot. That's the Romeo Doubs role. Their analysis of that was just, what if we had Romeo Doubs receptions like over the middle, but now you have the threat of him taking off for explosives. So I think Matthew Golden's going to be involved. What happened?
Bill just went off the board. Needed Bill on my team to, you know, Dr. Frankenstein that running back 2 spot with Chuba Hubbard. I think people might get a bit over their skis on, you know, the clips that we've seen of training camp of him catching passes. To me, it's more notable if he's not just a total liability, yeah, not catching passes. Like, if he can just prove that he is serviceable out there and it's not a total tell when he's on the field that it's a run, then that's a big deal. And I think Ben Stanning has done a great job of covering that for the Commanders so far.
I think you should draft both of them. You know, the Commanders' offense is better than a lot of the backfields that we're talking about where there's two running backs going ahead of both of them, like the Steelers, for example, as when the Panthers, like the Commanders probably is a better team than those, and the running backs, yeah, are going behind them, and we haven't heard anything from Catron Allen. Like, move both of them up. That's what I just did.
That's what I just took was Rashad White here. If Bill went earlier than Rashad White, especially in full PPR, I'm happy with Rashad White there because he is ranked, and this is the most obvious statement ever, higher for me in full than he is in half.
I promise you I wouldn't have Xavier Worthy as my wide receiver 2. I got him as my wide receiver 3.
You're one round away from us getting fired after 10 days on the job.
I was considering him versus Jaden Reed versus somebody else that just won.
Why Xavier Worthy over Jaden Reed? Like that actually surprises me.
Just because I think that the Rashee Rice stuff is very uncertain, and I think that they're going to get Xavier Worthy back into the role that he had as a rookie, in that there was some screen involvement, there was some underneath stuff, there's some crossing routes where I think last year they didn't trust him staying healthy. It's a dice roll here. Well,
is he healthy now?
dice roll. And we're talking about way late in the draft. I'm going to be taking more dice rolls here in a second.
I think Xavier Worthy might end up, especially if I'm drafting with you, as one of my most avoided players.
Yeah.
And that can be totally wrong. And yeah, you're definitely banking on Rushy Rice not being 100% if you're taking Xavier Worthy. We keep citing this, but Ercolano posted that in games where Rushy Rice has played, Xavier Worthy has averaged 2.7 catches per game.
He was banged up in a lot of them. It's like kind of contingent based upside at this point. I think in my first couple weeks here, he would not be in my starting lineup for sure.
Yeah, I mean, this is already the part of the board where your draft falls off a cliff. I got to be honest. It's a bunch of the quarterbacks that some people would be taking late for their starter. Then it's like Jordan Mason, Don Kincaid, Travis Kelce, Isaiah Likely, Wandale. You keep going on and on down the list. But
and this is what we're talking about with the quarterbacks. Like if you're waiting on quarterbacks, a lot of the best picks on the board are still the quarterbacks. And you can kind of double click two quarterbacks in this range. So I think especially when the quarterbacks go earlier than what we had in this mock draft, I love just pick any of them. Stafford, Kyler, pick any combination, Dart with Jordan Love. I think Jared Goff has a chance to lead the league in passing yards. Like double clicking quarterback in this range is awesome.
Like you know, the 11th and 12th spot here are going to have a this or that with Justin Herbert and Jayden Reed versus Mekhi Lemon and Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. for example. Mm-hmm. The Mekhi Lemon pick, I think, is very early at the 7-12 at this spot in preseason when we haven't heard from him very much.
Yeah, I'm nervous about Mekhi Lemon to start the season. I think that he was an awesome prospect and he can figure things out. It's just this offense, you have to be in two wide receiver sets. We'll see.
I'm going to take the falling Jacoby Myers. I'm a big Parker Washington guy. I know you also love BTJ on top of it, but it's not lost on me that Jacoby was the one that settled everything once he arrived last year, and then they gave him an extension before hitting free agency. So I think Jacoby, there's still a role for him to be played. I do think the X factor in all of this, and this buzz is building a little bit, and we don't want to be the boys who cried wolf, but the Travis Hunter offensive buzz, speak on it.
So I was listening to Shipley and he thinks there's a chance like Travis Hunter is getting closer to like 50% of offensive plays. And they said that in general, he's playing way more offense than they were expecting. When I listened to everything Shipley post, and typically that was like at 20%. Now they're like that. It's just going up and up and up. And he looks absolutely jacked. He's probably going to be able to survive both sides of the ball. And maybe on defense, he plays like 80% of the snaps and like it gets a little bit closer. And he's going to be winning down the field, which is the role that he was so good at.
That's my point. That's my point. Like, I know there's some talk of him taking away from Jacoby in that area. What if he's taking away from Brian Thomas Jr.?
I think it's possible. In that podcast that I keep talking about, they both agreed the most likely scenario for Brian Thomas is he exits after the season.
Yep.
And they'll just take the compensation, the third round compensatory pick, and that they're probably not going to re-sign him. So if you're kind of like reading between the lines and Travis Hunter just dominating, maybe there is a little bit more of a rotation between those two.
Why would Brian Thomas Jr. though have to exit after this year?
Maybe it's the year after that. Like just that he's not going
to
get
he would be like a perfect trade candidate if Travis Hunter is playing balling. And knowing where to line up and balling. That he can be, you know, in the three wide receiver sets as the X and winning down the field, and they can flip Brian Thomas Jr. to like the Las Vegas Raiders or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah. I definitely misspoke. I think what you said is possible. I think they're just saying in general, Parker Washington's going to get the extension, and that eventually Brian Thomas will not get the extension. He will just walk. And in that scenario, you can start seeing that, okay, maybe Brian Thomas is at 80% of the snaps instead of 100.
When are we going to start talking about Travis Hunter on offense again?
Probably this next pick, if you don't take him, I'm taking him. I need him.
I mean, he looks freaking yoked, man.
He really
and
is.
I just can't get over that the season was ripped away from him last year. Now, like to open it, he truly didn't know where to line up, right? And they were running him on the slot stuff, the underneath stuff, the screens, whatever, the gimmicks. But then like the downfield snap that he had against the 49ers, the Jaguars don't win that game without that. The downfield stuff he had against Chiefs, the Jaguars do not win that game without that. And these are tough, contested grabs.
Oh, yeah.
And then I'm not going to bring up what the Rams garbage time stuff, because that is what it is. But during that week, it was like, oh, now we're going to build our passing attack around this guy. He's going to get the wide receiver one treatment. And then the injury happens and then the move for Jacoby it makes. So, like, I am 100% leaving the door open for Travis Hunter playing off.
I think he's going to average like 2 yards per route run. And when he's on the football field on offense, he's like going to get the football more so than if he's a full-time player. And I think that he doesn't even have to play all the snaps to matter. Like, here's just a perfect example. In the ADP landscape, on this, he's sandwiched between Tyreek Hill, Isaac Tesla, Rashid Shaheed, Juwan Jennings. Like, these are the guys in the ADP on Yahoo. It's like, I mean, what are we even doing here? Like, the by far the best wide receiver in real life available without question is Travis Hunter. So let's roll.
I thought you might have said Rashad Jennings. And I was like, the guy who retired years ago?
Yeah.
I'm about to take someone who has not had his ADP updated yet. And as much as I do want to take Travis Hunter, I'm just going to take Deshaun Stripling here.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this pick in this area. 11-7, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I know he has to get back to practice, but if he winds up in like the 10th round coming up soon. There's some anchor bias going on of people hating on Deshaun Stripling and being a shock that he was the 33rd overall pick. Hopefully you tune into our channel with Dane Brugger that week where he said, hey, the football bubble is going to be shocked of how early he's going to go. And he has flaws to his game. Don't get me wrong, but he also has like a willingness to get after it. And he could be the best blocker in this class too. And we know like that has been one of the reasons why young wide receivers have been kept off the field by Kyle Shanahan. I don't think he has that problem. And like, if you just zoom out in any other draft class and really any other name, if the 33rd overall pick got thrusted into the wide receiver two role and he was competing against a 32 and 30 year old for it that have missed time with injury over the last few years, people would be going freaking nuts. And then no one gives a shit because it's Deshaun Stripling.
Also, it's the 49ers too. It's like not even like that he went to some scrub offense. Like we're talking about.
That might be part of the negative because they don't like how Kyle drafts.
Brandon Ayuk was a hit in that range until he wasn't.
Right. I did have a question to ask you because even through all of our research and, you know, talking about 22 situations yesterday, I missed that Jalen McMillan has a knee injury and his timeline is like uncertain. Like they don't know when he's going to return. Like that's a pretty big deal here.
I thought that was bordering on fake news. He banged his knee on somebody else. Like wasn't like some like non-contact injury. He's expected to come back in like the next week or so. And he seems fine. They just said like they don't know exactly what it is. But that's just like Todd Bowles, you know. And Todd Bowles lied to us about the Bucky stuff.
This is true. Okay, you're on the clock.
Okay, I think I've drafted enough wide receivers in a row where I could go somewhere else.
Anyone that you want?
Man, I think I'm going to just take Matthew Stafford. I'll take the MVP of the league this late in the draft.
A second quarterback.
I think this is a year to be drafting a second quarterback just because there's a big fall off and these quarterbacks are going to be really, really strong. So who knows? Like I can trade Lamar Jackson for a wide receiver once the season starts if this wasn't a mock draft. So I think that at a certain point, you know, the MVP of the league should probably go ahead of Marshawn Lloyd as much as I like him. And like, that's kind of like the range that we're getting to now.
I almost took Tyrone Tracy just to bank on Cam Scadaboo doing a backflip that doesn't land over the next 4 weeks. I decided against that. And I went with Alvin Kamara. Again, some of the reports of how tight the snaps have been in certain situations out of the Saints camp. Obviously, Travis Achane's going to play a lot and get a lot of the work. And I am not one of the people that got so concerned after the quote that, hey, that's going to be the early down guy. And then the third and fourth down guy is going to be Alvin Kamara, because as you and I outlined, 35 of the 36 Achane receptions last year happened on first and second down.
I think Kamara's draftable. I think he's draftable.
Thanks.
I think he's draftable. As far as I'll go.
Thanks.
Underhill really likes Kendre Miller. Yeah, no, full PPR. You know, this is where like, he should be drafted. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it. We do have just two more rounds after this. And without kickers and defense, you know, things get really tight towards the end of year. So this is a truly take your favorite player at the spot. Like, maybe I should have stuck with that. And despite, you know, the Stephon Diggs signing, gone with Chigo Kwankwo and just an unlocked ceiling for him with a, you know, David Blau offense that we just didn't know was possible. Because, again, this is the area where tight ends just truly might outscore the wide receivers and running backs.
Definitely so. We got two flex spots where you can start throwing them in during the bye weeks. It's probably gonna be my last pick up ahead. Just wanted to recap my draft real quick before I have to run. Typically, you're not going to take four wide receivers or four running backs as early as I did. But I do think by the time this draft's over, I took enough upside swings where I can at least figure it out. And like, I think if you are going to punt it off like I did here, you just want to take five dart throws. Like, really. So like, I think Tyson's one. Diggs is definitely one. Worthy, Michael Wilson, Travis Hunter, and then I would just take two more here at the end. And to me, whatever position you draft in the first couple rounds, just, you know, draft the other positions later. And I think that this was as far as I would ever push that, but I do think I actually feel okay with this team.
I think it's awesome that you pushed it that far publicly on a setting like this, because that doesn't happen very often, but we got to put it here in a mock draft.
Yeah. Good thing it's a mock draft.
Good thing it's a mock draft. Okay. Hopefully this next tight end makes it to me with this next pick, because I'll just take Brenton Strange over these wide receivers and running backs, because again, so much talk, and I understand it with all the wide receivers on the Jaguars right now, but Brenton Strange still scored quite highly when he was on the field last year.
Yeah, it sounds like Jacksonville's still going to use a bunch of three wide receiver sets, and they just want some tight end depth. I don't know why you'd take a second round tight end if you're just looking for depth, but that is interesting. All right, my last pick, I'll do Flournoy. He's pretty much a waiver wire guy, but if something happens to one of the top two wide receivers, I do think that he would be somebody that we'd be ranking inside like the top 36 or so. So it's my last pick.
Hayden had to bounce to appear on another show. But on that note, and I should have mentioned this earlier, we have Eric Froton just after this for the three players he can't stop drafting in college fantasy football. Yes, that is on Yahoo right now. Play NFL fantasy football. Why not just, you know, do the same thing on Saturdays? He has a top 300 rankings for every single position. So all you ball knowers that watch a ton of ball throughout the entire weekend, and I'm sure your significant others love it, and you've never played CFF, now's the time to do so. And Froton has a bit of a primer for you after this. Okay. Hayden's team, just to talk through it, and he mostly did here. Jonathan Taylor, Brock Bowers, Breece Hall, Kyren Williams, DeAndre Swift, Lamar Jackson, and then his run of wide receivers of Jordan Tyson, Stephon Diggs, Xavier Worthy, Michael Wilson, Travis Hunter, and then Matthew Stafford and Ryan Flournoy. My team, CMC, Drake London, Zay Flowers, Garrett Wilson, DJ Moore, Jane Daniels, Harold Fannin. So that's basically my starting lineup. And then I tried to put two or three names together for that running back two spot. Obviously, when you get into drafts like this, you're going to have a weakness when you come out of it. Mine, I know, is going to be my running back two spot. But again, waiver wire pickups, backups getting into that area, or a combination of Chuba Hubbard for the rushing and Rashad White for the receiving can make up that running back two spot. And then I went with Jacoby Myers and Deshaun Stripling. Again, my wide receivers and my flexes should be totally taken care of, along with Alvin Kamara and Brenton Strange. And who should we close this thing out with? I have the likes of Aronne Gadsden, Adonai Mitchell, AJ Barner, Greg Dulcich, Trey Harris. I'm going to go with AJ Barner. I should have gone with Greg Dulcich. I should have taken the receptions that Greg Dulcich brings to the table, because he truly might be like the top receiver of the Miami Dolphins this year. And again, the two flexes rather than like the three wide receivers and one flex, I think opens the door in this format, if you all have the same one, for truly starting tight ends in that second flex spot. Before we get out of here, let's talk through producer Weaves. All right. He's in the 11th pick. Saquon Barkley, Devon Achane, Jalen Waddle, Colston Loveland, Parker Washington, Quinshon Judkins, Justin Herbert, and Quentin Johnson. Like right there, his starting lineup is filled out. After that, Jaden Reed, Romeo Doubs, Khalil Shakir, Juwan Johnson, again on the radar from Underhill, saying that he is undervalued in all drafts right now, Jordan Love, and Ray Davis. Absolutely love it. Let us know in the comments down below which of these teams, from Stunna to Fins to Beef Candy to Serenity Now, that you like the most. And we'll send it over to our conversation with Eric Froton right now. Oh yeah, college football fantasy is here. You know, you can't just have your fantasy football love on Thursdays and Sundays and Mondays. You need it on Saturdays as well. We know you all watch ball, and we have the man to bring it to you, the knowledge that you need. This is Eric Froton. Eric, we typically bring in guests on the summer for the NFL fantasy football side on like a five players or a handful of players they can't stop drafting. So I thought that was the perfect way to bring you in for this college football fantasy season. They can be drafted in any order, in any point of the draft board, but give us your first player that you can't stop drafting this year.
Yeah, we're going to go right to the top here with Nick Marsh, transfer from Michigan State to Indiana. Now, as we know, I know you're NFL guys, but I know you know Indiana won the national title last year, right? I know we're all up on that. But when it comes to Michigan State, I don't blame you if you don't know what's going on in Michigan State, because there really wasn't very much happening last season. One of the worst quarterbacks in the Power Four, ranked dead last among quarterbacks with 200 plus dropbacks in on target throw rate. That was Aiden Childs. Despite that, you know, they were still force feeding Nick Marsh the ball last year, 29% target share with 75 targets over his last seven games, forcing 28 missed tackles on 58 receptions, a gaudy 48% missed tackle rate. The beauty of Nick Marsh is he's going to have Josh Hoover to work with now this year. He's going to have Kurt Cignetti's more structured offense. He's going to get more quality targets in that Elijah Surratt ex-boundary wide receiver role. Now, last year, Surratt scored a touchdown in almost every single game last year. Yep. And Marsh is worlds better than Elijah Surratt. He is going to be a true wide receiver number one. And for 2027 NFL draft purposes, right now, I have him as my wide receiver two behind only Julio Jones, the new version, Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, my ears perked up when you said he's a boundary X receiver, but he's breaking all those tackles. You typically don't get those two profiles together. I thought you were going to say Omar Cooper role, because he was kind of the force missed tackle guy in that offense. But boundary and force missed tackles in the same profile is definitely interesting.
Yeah, Eric, I have a question. Like, when you think about a team like Indiana that lost so much talent to the NFL, and it's Fernando Mendoza, it's both the wide receivers, it's also Kalen Black, right? Like, how much does the system change based on the new talent that comes in? Or is this, hey, the Cignetti mold, this is what we do no matter what, and we're going to fit these pieces? While some of them might be better, some of them also might be worse. So how difficult it is for you to project year over year with that stuff?
You know, typically systems are pretty consistent year over year. You have a certain style of play call with offensive coordinator, or if it's an offensive-minded head coach who takes that play calling, that will typically be repeatable. So I see, and that's kind of why we got into Indiana, how they still have Charlie Becker at the Z role. And Charlie Becker was an absolute monster down the stretch with those back shoulder throws and high point catches on the boundary. He was almost unstoppable. It was basically like a rebound when they're throwing it downfield, because he was just so dominant against those inferior boundary corners. He will stay on the Z, in my opinion. You're just going to see Marsh go and slot right in the Surratt role. And then on the running back side, you mentioned Kalen Black. They bring in Turbo Richard from BC, who had some pretty encouraging advanced metrics. And he'll just slot in the Hemby role, who was pretty much the primary, even though that was almost a straight split last year. You'll see Kobe Martin filling in, and they also bring in Lee Beebe, another running back from UAB. So you'll see another rotation there. Somebody will emerge as the nominal one, but it really hurts the profile of a guy like Turbo Richard, who you would think would have top five round draft capital, but because of the three-way dance, it really clouds his profile.
Turbo Richard, such a college football name out there. And just for clarity, this is Power Four plus Notre Dame when we're drafting on Yahoo?
Yes, sir. 68 teams, the 67. Ooh. Traditional Power Four teams plus Notre Dame, despite the fact that Notre Dame plays basically a G6 schedule. I have to get that dig in there. They're gonna have a better, stronger schedule.
And Eric, I know you already have on Yahoo a top 300 plus positional rankings for all these. So if we think we're overloaded with 32 teams, you go deep with 68 of them. Okay. One name down, two to go. Who else can you not stop drafting this summer?
Yeah, we're going to go over to Oregon. You know, we're going to stay in the Big Ten, another alpha dog of the Big Ten. And we're going to go to actually their backup or their RB2 heading into the season. We're going to get spicy here, guys. Come on. We're going to have some excitement. Because this is about players that I can't stop drafting. And I cannot stop drafting Dierre Hill. D-I-E-R-R-E. Get used to his name. Averaged a ridiculous 8.2 yards per carry on only 59 carries as a freshman. Still, 6.5 yards after contact is what you average. If you get 6.5 in college, you're already like a pro prospect. You get 6.5 after contact. That kind of illustrates just the kind of elusiveness and explosiveness that we can really expect to see out of De'Aaron Hill with his 39% missed tackle rate. We're getting into Bijan territory there. Could not be more excited about him assuming a much larger role for what should probably be a run-based Oregon attack this season as they roll over a very palatable schedule in the Big Ten.
How often is it like returning players, like juniors and seniors, versus like all of a sudden a freshman hits the scene? So like obviously De'Aaron Hill came in hot towards the end of that last season. How often are you looking at rookies or freshmen versus returning players?
Yeah, it's always a dicey proposition with these freshmen coming in, not rookies.
I know.
He's a freshman. I know. Hey, we're trying to remold first everybody years. To come down and give it a shot here. No offense, of course. But with that, the younger guys coming in and sort of vulturing carries from the older guys, it happens all the time. You know, this is about wins. And if you have a better back that is gives you a better chance to win, these college coaches' lines are on the job. You get on the hot seat, you're doing everything you can to get off of it, or you're moving out quick. There's very little, you know, I would say loyalty when it comes to the coaching. Okay. And at the same time, they're going to play the best guys they can.
Eric, when you mentioned an Oregon player, I immediately jumped the schedule. And the game that I circle is September 26th, Hayden, because you know from, at least I do, from going through all these draft prospects, Eric, every single spring, that every single one has their best game against the USC Trojans defense. Literally every single one. Nice. And this goes years over years over years. I mean, go from Duncan Cade to Tajay Spears to, you know, Jadarian Price having both of his kick return touchdowns against these USC Trojans. That's just the start of the list. I can go about 10 deep with it. So I cannot wait for the Oregon running backs against your USC Trojans, Hayden, on September 26th.
Can I ask a selfish question? What's going down with USC's offense this year? We got a returning quarterback. I'm kind of optimistic there. We're a bunch of new skill guys. Who should we be drafting for USC?
Sure. Well, I you mentioned Jaden Mayava, the quarterback there. I love Jaden Mayava. I think he's underrated for NFL draft purposes. He's got the size. He's got touch. He can layer the ball. And my gosh, you see some of the throws he made when supplanting Miller Moss 2 years ago to Jacoby Lane. Like his placement on the balls in the back corner throws to Jacoby Lane when they're in the gold zone. And it's like, all right, we're throwing this up. Excellent ball placement. I knew pretty early on that he was going to supplant Miller Moss in 2024 when I went to the spring game, and it certainly came to pass. That being said, with USC, it's all about their receiving core. They've got a great pair of running backs, as you well know. King Miller certainly established himself behind Wayman Jordan when he got hurt, but Jordan is expected to be back. I think he's electric and an NFL back. But the receiver core, Tanuk Hines is the wide receiver 3. He returns. But obviously, they vacate two of the best in the Big Ten with Jacoby and Mekhi Lemon. So they have three freshmen coming in that are expected to contribute immediately. You can see Trent Mosley. You can see Wyatt Dixon. Boobie Feaster reclassified from the 27 class to 26 in order to come in. Bring in Terrell Anderson from NC State. So there is plenty of opportunity in the wide receiver room. Opposite of Tanuk. So I'm very curious to see what we get out of these freshmen. Shades of the Branch, Lemon, Jacoby Lane class years back from this freshman class for USC.
All right, waiver wire time.
There you go. All right, Eric, one last name, close it out. Final one you can't stop drafting this summer.
Yeah, we're going to go over to one position each. We got a running back, we got a wide receiver. We're going balance. Over to Pitt, where you guys will appreciate this. Kerwin Bell, old friend Kerwin Bell, OC, now the head coach of Western Carolina. His son, Cade Bell, is the offensive coordinator at Pitt. Don't get too excited there, NFL guys. It's still college. We're okay. But their quarterback there, Cade Bell's quarterback, Mason Heintschel, was a true freshman last year, was behind a former Alabama commit, named Eli Holstein, who was the starter last season. Few games in, it became very clear that was not going to work. Bring in Heintschel, and he wins his first 5 games as a true freshman, throwing 12 touchdowns. Oh, he was incredible. But a fatal flaw kind of ruined the season for Pittsburgh. They had one of the worst offensive lines of any winning team in the Power Four last season. 44 sacks allowed. Kid was running for his life out there. They have since 3 departed. They bring in 3 new transfers, and they have 6 offensive linemen now who have started 11-plus games at the FBS level. So they have addressed that issue. And with Heinschel, it's so important for college fantasy quarterbacks to have a running component to them.
Yep.
Even though he only had 86 yards last year and 2 touchdowns and 9 starts, again, in college, you lose the rushing yards when you take sacks.
Yep.
44 sacks, it just killed him. However, he broke 19 tackles last year as a runner. That is something that I project to really translate well with a better line and another year where he's under center and he's taken all those starter reps in the offseason. I expect Mason Heinschel to ascend in the Pitt's offense, who is known for throwing 35-plus passes per game and scoring 35-plus points per game. That is a magic formula in college fantasy. Passes and production.
If you make Kenny Pickett look like a first rounder, this is like one of these offenses to buy into. Yeah.
Small hands, Kenny Pickett. Probably. Yes. Oh, God. Yeah. I couldn't have been happier to see him bust. He was extremely smug to me when I talked to him at the combine. So that's where you get Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. Had Jordan Addison, if I believe of that'll do it for you.
Cool. All right. True freshman Jordan Addison, 1,100 plus receiving yards as a true freshman. One of the greats.
Yes, that'll do it. Eric, you've said it all. You all can draft your CFF teams right now over on Yahoo. Get a bunch of your buddies, start a league, or join a public league. And yes, Eric has you covered. Top 300 rankings along with position ones. So go and draft at this very moment. Thank you all for tuning in. We'll see you all next week.